ready for your host. Here she goes.
Welcome to Diary of a Botox Bitch podcast.
Oh man, I can't get enough of your voice. Keep on talking.
Hi, I'm Dr. Botox and you're listening to my podcast, Diary of a Botox Bitch. I'm recording this episode right before I get picked up to be performing this evening in Los Angeles and I'm super excited. A lot of people ask me about the comedy scene here. It's a tough scene for sure, but we get so much opportunity for stage time. We don't get opportunity for a huge amount of stage time. I mean, we'll get 5 minutes, 7 minutes, 8 minutes. You might get 10 minutes, 12 minutes at a push. But then if you want 15 or 20 minutes, typically you will have to travel to San Diego, to La Jolla, Vegas. I'll be in Vegas in January, you guys. So in the last episode or two, we've talked about meeting some of the people who are very wonderful to comics. You know, certain people like Johnny Buss, he is the owner of Lakers. He has a whole comedy club in Pasadena. Amazing. They actually have the best green rooms and also they give us so much food and drinks and everything and so many snacks in the green room. There are other comedy clubs that are super famous that, again, they're wonderful to us for different reasons. The most famous club ever and the most wow club, I think, is the club that's just so... Maybe it's just different for different comedians. I can't speak for everybody, but there's one club I walked into and the very first night I walked into it, like, hi, I'm an Irish comedian. They were so nice. They could have been such douches and they were just so nice and they continue to be so nice. And, you know, I've done the smaller stage there. I'm at the stage where I do the bigger stage there. Not the big stage, not the big stage. I do the medium stage. I perform in that room. They still leave the baby lights on at the sides, which means they have all the stars. Robin Williams, they have all the big names. Mitzi Shore, everyone is at the side of this room and they leave the lights on. So that's something that's earned. So when they start turning the lights off, that's when you're at a next level. So that's a while away out. But you have to set goals in life. And, you know, it's funny, people do ask me certain questions like, you know, I don't know, people always say I'm very driven and very ambitious. And I feel like, oh, I've so much to do still. I've so much to do, so much to prove, not to anyone, just to myself. I'll say this as well. I said this in the last podcast. I talk about this. It's really frowned upon as women to be seen as to be selfish. I am very selfish. I make no apologies. I know what I want. I know when I get there. Does it mean I hurt people along the way? Absolutely not. Does it mean I don't get up in the morning? There's certain people I think of. I check in and once I know they're okay and they're on their vibe, then I'm very happy to get on with what I'm doing. I also feel like it's a real man's world for sure. And comedy definitely is for sure. The male comedians are very good to us and they look after us. And if you're leaving a club late at night, you say, hey, will you walk me to the car? There's always a few that you don't want to walk you to your car. You're like, get away from me. And the women and everyone looks out for everybody. And the guys will be pretty protective as well, to be honest with you. And it's a very lovely community. It's the biggest. It's one of the biggest gifts, the comedy community here in LA. Very special. I will say as well as this, when you are going through an apprenticeship and you want to learn, you want to be around the best people. It's like if you want to be successful in life, there's no point in hanging out with deadbeats. You want to be around people who are, you know, working out, who are focused on winning, who like to win. Lots of people talk about this. This is not a new memo. This is not a new secret. This is not free game. This is just a fact of the matter. Hang around with, you know, four millionaires, you'll be the fifth. You hang around with four losers, you'll be the fifth, you know, which is why I also speak to the effect of, you know, certainly you have to do hours and hours and hundreds of hours of open mics when you start. But then as you move away from that, you want to be careful as well of what energy you're around, especially if you're somebody who's an empath or you pick up energy. Something else as well, which I never really talk about, people say you're very resilient. I am and I haven't. I've done cool things though. You know, I've sailed across the Atlantic. I got on a boat in Fort Lauderdale and I spent 3.5 weeks at sea sailing from Fort Lauderdale to Portsmouth in England. That's kind of a ballsy thing to do. You know, you either have a history of being ballsy and fearless. And sometimes I look at myself and the stages I do and the goals I set for myself in comedy and I'm like, I'm so busy being of service, because even those moments where you get a little bit nervous, you have to have a little bit of nerves to have that energy and adrenaline to do a good job. But also, you don't want to be frazzled nervous. You want to be just a little bit kind of almost excited to get on stage, but also like, you know, I wonder what the audience is like, and you'll tell your first few jokes and you'll decide which path you're going to go down. I always think comedy is almost like having a bookshelf full of books. You know, you tell your first joke or two in a room, or you'll be watching the audience and you know what sort of an audience is. Or sometimes where the club is, you'll also know, you know, what type of audience. You know, there's certain jokes that will work well. LA is very liberal. You know, if you did those same jokes in a red state, it would be frowned upon, you know, and vice versa as well. So you also know your audience. In certain parts of town, like for example, if I do West Hollywood, we know it's super, super liberal. If you're in Burbank, you might be like, oh, too much Burbank. And again, you could just address it and they'll be like, and you'd be like, okay. And you know, you move on to the next joke. But here's the deal. I always think comedy is almost like having a bookshelf full of books, or something I prefer to even, this is even more of a good analogy. If you have the old flower stands, I grew up in Dublin and on Moore Street or Grafton Street, you have all the older ladies from the inner city Dublin, their gas characters, and they have all their flowers in their stands. And I always like to think of comedy as a flower stand, an old Dublin flower stand, and they have 70 or 80 bunches and they're all in water. Some of them are fully blossomed and some of them, you know, we know that they'll blossom in a day or two. And I like to think of comedy as the go on stage, tell your joke or two, figure out who the audience is, whatever. You may know before you go up, you may not even need to do that. But also the plan is that you'll figure it out, and in your flower stand, which I think is better because the book is completed, there's it's bound and covered and the book is the book and it's the finished product. Whereas a flower can denote change and it can bloom, it'll die. If you have an analogy for comedy, if you have a bookshelf with 50 books on it, they're all bound and they're in order. You can't, I mean, you can certainly change the order of the books, but you can't actually rip the cover off and change the book itself. So flowers are different. So I like to think of comedy as you get up there, you figure out, you don't know if you've 5 minutes, 7 minutes, 10 minutes, 12 minutes, 15 minutes. And certainly when you're doing more and more, you know, and you have your 1 hour special, I like to think of comedy that you're looking at this flower stand, and it's a big flower stand, hopefully the more years that you do. So there's certain flowers that, you know, they're fully bloomed, that, you know, there's a joke I tell about Crenshaw and it's just a killer joke. I know that it's always going to land wherever I am. That flower, that bouquet of flowers is fully bloomed. It is ready to be picked up and purchased at any motherfucking time. There's other bits I'm working on. I want to work more on the fact of kind of being a bad doctor, not a bad doctor, but being a doctor who's like, you know what, when I get on an airplane and there's a medical emergency, it's a really big inconvenience for everybody. I get it. It's also a big inconvenience for the medical professionals and also for me. You know, we're not God. I'm just the same as everyone else. I want to get on an airplane, take a couple of Valium, a sleeping tablet, and a litre of liquid from the Champagne region of France. I mean, everyone knows I don't joke and I also don't take Valium. But, you know, I want to do more of those. Those, I see those in the bottom of the flower stand. You know, they need to be watered more. They need to be worked on more. They need to be worked on from a physical point of view, if they need to be punched up, but they also need to be worked on. I need to grow as a comic, so I'm a little bit more of a see you next Tuesday on stage. I feel like at the moment I'm still bounce the ball along, be likable. You know, I did a lot of reality TV. I'm kind of new in America. I probably do want to jump on a franchise over here. And yes, I will fuck shit up. But for now, I also want to be likable and get on stage. You guys, I did a lot of TV. I don't want to be like, hey, you guys, I did like massive TV credits back in Ireland. So, you know, represent. Like, I can't be like that. I have to get up there and be like, you guys, I did some shows you probably never heard of. One of them is called The Real Housewives of Ireland. It's a lot like The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, but less money. I have to still be a little bit likable. But if I was going to be really watering the flowers and the plants that I want to grow, I would be getting up there and go, you know, I recently got a flight on Spirit Airlines. It was a bad life choice. There was a medical emergency on the flight. I don't fuck with medical emergencies. They're not my vibe, you know, and do more of that stuff, or talk about my friend who wants to murder her husband. Obviously, full disclosure, if he turns up murdered, it wasn't us. But the point is, you know, I could do a bit where, you know, I think I'm going to be an accessory to murder of my best friend's husband. You know, you guys, I know that sounds really dark, but you haven't met him. Also, we haven't murdered him yet. You know, funny stuff like that. You know, I want to do more dark stuff, but that's still in the corner of my stand. And not only is it not wrapped and fully ready to purchase, there's a little bit of water and I need to pour more water into that particular, you know, plastic container in the stand. I need to pour water in so that the flowers will grow, but I need to pour, you know, backbone in. I need to do more reps. I need to do more workouts on stage where I get to the point where I'm going, you know what, fuck it. If I get up there, I don't even care if they don't like me. I'm just going to be, I watch some of the great guys on a Sunday night. If you want to witness the best comics in town, there's certain nights that, you know, are great. Sunday night up in West Hollywood, there's a particular night that's on every week. It's, I think, the best writers and the best performers. I go there, I watch like a hawk. I watch them all. I'll stay for both shows. I'll see the difference between a certain joke in the first show and then how they'll execute it on the second show. I watch like a hawk. I'm all about patterns. I watch patterns, I look at people, I learn. And if you want to be the best, or be the best that you can be, you need to look and learn from the best people. So I do feel like, and I talk to some of them as well, I'm like, ugh, I wish I could be more mean on stage. And they're like, we've seen your TV, you're an absolute lighting fucking bitch. I'm like, I know, I want to be more like that. So I feel like the gap of me in on stage at the moment being likable and new to America, and then me being the real voice, which is the flowers that are in the corner that need to be watered. They need to be watered from more punch-ups, but they also need to be, which is a more important watering, they need to be watered from the point of view where I'm actually, don't even want to be or care if I'm liked anymore on stage. I don't mean go up there and be mean, but I mean, you know, if something doesn't land, you're like, you know what, whatever, who cares? So I feel like that particular bouquet of flowers needs to be watered emotionally and watered in terms of me as a backbone of my comedic voice. Because you're always trying to find your voice, and they say it takes 7 years and I'm like about 5 or 6 years in, whatever. Anyway, point being, it is important to have in your head there's certain flowers. Like I said, there's that Crenshaw joke. I do a joke, The Real Housewives of Ireland. That's also fully watered. You could pick that out and sell it in the morning. That's always going to land for the most part. Then there's other jokes that I'm working on that are just jokes that are working jokes that are just more tags to what I'm doing. Or there's some material that I want to do on reality TV that's a little bit darker. And again, that's wrapped in the bouquet. It's watered, it's ready to go. But I just need to wait the equivalent of 2 or 3 days in the flower stand until they fully bloom, because then it'll land better. It'll be a better purchase of flowers for the person. So there's a big difference between the bouquet of flowers. So if you look at comedy like a big a big flower stand. There could be 50 or 60 containers. For me, I'm, you know, someone like who's very experienced, like Tiffany Haddish or Whitney Cummins, they have, you know, their whole, they have 100 holders full of all flowers ready they can pick out. For me, I'll get up, I'll do 12 minutes, probably 8 minutes. I need to be getting up there and going, okay, what's this crowd like? I know that that joke will work. And you're always nearly three jokes ahead. That sounds really weird. You're always, you're telling your joke, but you're also, you're two or three jokes ahead, depending on where you're at. Like if I'm doing your material, I will stay in that joke and I'll be really focusing on where I'm going with that joke. But if I know the joke like the back of my hand, I'm on to two jokes ahead and deciding where I'm going. So I feel like comedy is really like an analogy that you have this big flower stand. Like I said, someone like Whitney Cummins, she'll have 100 bouquets and probably 75 million flower stands that she can pull from. I'm more fledgling, so I'll have, you know, 10 or 12 bouquets. You know, I could probably do 15 minutes quite comfortably. I'll have those bouquets that I know they're ready to go. They're wrapped. They're fully bloomed. We can land them. Maybe out of the 15 minutes, there's 2 minutes that are a little bit, you know, and I'll put those 2 minutes in the middle because I'll have a strong opening, a strong closing. I do feel like comedy is like having a bouquet of flowers and lots of different flowers, bouquets of flowers in the stand, in the water stand. Like I say, you could also say people do compare it to a bookshelf, but the books then are fully bound and they're finalized. It's the final thing. You're always working on jokes. You're always cutting bits out. You're always adding tags, or always changing it. Sometimes for a while, a certain joke, I did this joke about, I grew up on the mean streets of South Central Dublin 4, which is basically Irish Beverly Hills, or as I like to call it, Dublin 90210. It's a nice little joke. It tells people where I'm from. Sometimes as well, people introduce me as British, which really pisses me off. We are called the Republic of Ireland. In fact, the Brits are the worst at it because they call it Southern Ireland. They have Northern Ireland. They call it Southern Ireland. It's just embarrassing. Guys, y'all invaded the country, so at least get your delineation of it correct. But like, whatever. A lot of my best friends are in England. I do like London a lot. So I don't know why. I just get frustrated. Sometimes people think because of my accent, I went to a Swiss finishing school. You know, I went to Trinity College in Dublin. It's Irish Ivy League. I have a very clipped accent and they think that I'm British. I'm not. I'm Irish. I'm very Irish. In fact, I'm the great grandniece of Michael Collins, which is probably where I get a lot of my fight from. He was president of Ireland. He was, you know, he was in the original troop that actually started the Easter 1916 revolution to get the British out of Ireland. So he's kind of a badass. So that is in my DNA. I'm always in trouble. I've always been in trouble. But as I've gotten older, I realize not even me. People don't like strong people. People don't like strong-willed people. They certainly don't like strong women. They don't like strong women in Ireland. You know, I said in my last podcast as well, I was talking about the fact that why do we say king and queen? Why don't we say queen and king? I mean, I'm not being persnickety, but why are we so conditioned to be like his and hers? Why not hers and his? I'm just saying, I'm not being snarky. But also, if another journalist asks me, am I married? Am I in love? Is the final finale question of an interview. I'm like, who cares? I'm in love with stand-up comedy. You want to know what my true love is? I think possibly my true love right now, my favorite place to be is on stage. And there's also a few comedy clubs that I love that are just very special to me. And there's certain people's shows I love that feel very special. Like whenever I do Pretty Funny Women, I'm an OG alumni. I started with Lisa 5 years ago. I've come up through the ranks. I love doing her show. I love her. Literally, if I saw her now, I would give her a hug and probably just give her a big smack kiss on the lips. I just love that woman. She's like all encompassing of everything that is badass and soft spirited and tough and strong. And she's had to fight. And there's sometimes as well where you have a moment where you're like, oh my goodness, not so much the comedy, but just like maybe you're in an open mic and you're like, God, that was just awful. Like not because you didn't do well, but just you had to listen to just the dreads of awful jokes. You know, these guys getting up telling a joke about their penis. Yeah, you're so funny, Bernard Chad. Who'd have thought you're telling a joke about your penis? Like, please, I mean, fucking spare me. Then you have the real hacks. You do the pedo jokes. You'll spend 5 years on the open mic circuit. Someone needs to give them the memo. The pedo jokes are never going to be able. You're never going to play them anywhere. You're never going to do the rape jokes. You can't do them. You just can't do them. There's also certain subjects. I feel like in comedy, you should be able to talk about anything. But I also feel there's certain subjects that are just not worth it. Pedo jokes and rape jokes are not that subject. They are just subjects that you don't get to talk about. You don't have that luxury. Men, male comics and open micers. There's also certain people that you come across that are hugely monumentous in your development as a comic or big moments. Like, for example, and it might be also as well, you know, I went to a school in Ireland. It's called Mount Anvil. They tend to churn out it's probably the most uppity private school, and they turn out badass boss bitches. You know, yes, we're known for being a bit bitchy, but also it's not really bitchy. I think we're just strong women. So obviously in Ireland, particularly strong women get named, oh, she's such a bitch. Obviously if it was a man, it'd be like, oh, he's such a leader. I mean, fucking spare me. So anyway, there's a line in The Real Housewives of Ireland where I go, I went to Mount Anvil. If I need to bring it, I can bring it. It's a famous line. It's a fucking brilliant line. It's my first favorite line. My two other favorite lines from The Real Housewives of Ireland is I do one joke where I talk, it's not even a joke, sorry. I do one bit where I talk about Vagina Macaroni, who's my nemesis. She was a self-proclaimed heiress to an Irish restaurant dynasty. I mean, fucking spare me. They had like a couple of burger roach trucks by the seaside and a fish and chip shops. But anyway, In that show, they do a piece to camera where they're asking me about her, and I say, I don't even understand her. For the last 20 years, she's going around Ireland, around Dublin, drinking champagne. Now she's drinking Prosecco. Boo-hoo! And I do that kind of sad, crying face. That's hilarious. And my other favourite line is where I go, the producers ask me, am I going to make friends with Jo? And I say, no, she's in my phone as Jo, just to remind me of the betrayal. I love all that line as well. And that's actually when I first started writing comedy. I didn't even know what I was doing. I would go into film a situation and a setup in the reality TV, and within that scenario I would come up with a funny one-liner because I'd know what we were going to film, what we were going to tape. And it's funny, that's when I started writing stand-up comedy. I didn't know it at the time, and that was like a long time ago because I'm doing reality TV over 10 years now. Yes, I am like an Irish reality TV gun for hire. I have my green card, I'm ready to go. I wasn't so enamored with doing reality TV, but I realized that it's a trifecta. You know, if you do reality TV, it'll sell comedy tickets, it'll sell skincare. And I always say, unless you've got shit to sell, don't do reality TV. But you know what? Guess what? Your girl has shit to sell. So again, a huge thank you to our sponsors this evening, DermaFaceMD.com, AerospaceMD.com. If you use code BOTOXBITCH25, you will get 25% off any of the products. Their hero products are the 1000X Advanced Hyaluronic Serum, which is great for hydrating, and also AerospaceMD Oxygenating Moisturizing Cream. And then, of course, the staple, which is a triple peptide eye cream. So a huge thank you to our sponsors, DermaFaceMD and AerospaceMD. Also, this show is sponsored by La Dollar Skin, a collaboration with myself, Dr. Danielle Moore Collins. And the hero product is Calm Down Karen Cleanser. It's $36. You can see it on our website, DermaFaceMD.com. And I would suggest that to any of my comics out there, obviously, get yourself to London, get yourself to LA. New York is probably a great place to do comedy, but the thought of going around in the middle of winter and getting on subways, and you can't drive around New York, at least in LA, we get out, even if it's a cold day and it's 60 degrees, we can still jump in our car, put on music and go to the next venue and do another couple more open mics. Or like this evening, I'm on stage at 10:30. My call time will be 9:30. I'll cruise up there, probably eat some food in the kitchen, sitting on the freezer, and I will probably hang out beforehand and afterwards. But again, I can just drive in my car, go up there. Imagine if you were getting subways and here and there and late at night, it would be horrible. And if I'm going to my car late at night, I feel very safe anyway. But if I wanted to say to somebody, hey, will you walk me to my car? That would also be cool. That would be kosher. So yeah, you're definitely the sum of the people that you surround yourself with. I have done some good things during my life. Like I said, I've sailed across the Atlantic. That's pretty high achievers. I was actually clever enough. I got all the sea miles logged. So I actually then did my yacht master's. And people will say, like, what did you study? And I did, you know, I did a DDS in Trinity College, and I have a master's in aesthetic medicine. My first degree was actually aerospace engineering. That's why I sailed across the Atlantic. Typically, aerospace engineering or aeronautical engineering is the study of aerofoils, which is for most people aeroplanes, their wing. But actually, my favorite aerofoil is actually the sail on a sailboat. And I sailed across the Atlantic in a 120-foot schooner. There were six of us on board. So you would do 4 hours on and 8 hours off. And I think doing things like that gives you a backbone, a task to tackle things like comedy. You have to be fearless to do comedy, not just by going on stage, but just to navigate its shark-infested waters. And also as a female in comedy, you know, I feel like there's going to be a reckoning because they've had the Me Too movement within the movies. And there's certainly some, not for the most part, great human beings all around. And there are some really special people that I can tell you about in a moment who've been very, very just instrumental or just given me moments of like, oh, this is so cool. But then there are one or two people that you're going, gosh, you're really fucking dark. Because I feel like in comedy, people have done a lot of healing and then they talk about stuff and they're great human beings. Or there's the other spectrum where people are very unhealed or they're just weirdos. And so there's certainly one thing that confuses me is when male comic kind of ask me out or say, like, they just do dumb stuff. Like, I don't know, it's bizarre. Like the other night I was working till 3 or 4 in the morning. You know, I'm always working. I work 2 different time zones. Everyone knows I'm a treasure worker. I just work, work, work. I grind it out. And someone was like, hey, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm working. Like, because they were like, but you're on Instagram. I'm like, yes, I'm sending out invites to my next show. I'm like, and they were like, give me your address. And I'm like, as if you're going to say, hey, call over at 3 a.m. I just like, and I actually don't, I can't really work it out. I don't know if it's just the comics are crazy, the male comics. And if you're a male comic listening, don't bother. Don't come near me. I don't want to know. I don't mean that in a bad way, but it's like the workplace. Like, who's going to be getting confused on your own doorstep? Also, as well as that, again, it comes back to you, the sum of the 5 people you hang out with. I love to hang out with people from all different walks of life. But my inner circle, people who come to my house, to my home, who I hang with on Thanksgiving, who, you know, I will have dinner with or whatever. I have a very, very, very tight circle. And some days there isn't even a circle. I'm riding shotgun for myself. And you have to be very comfortable being in your own skin and being in your own company, which I am. I also love going out and chatting to everybody. It's very sociable. Do I go out to the clubs? Am I having a drink? No. Eyes on the ball all the time. Super professional. And again, I wish certain people could also be equally as professional. There's certain people as well out in the scene that you just love seeing, that you see them and your heart just lifts. There's other people you see and you're like, ugh, creepy old creepo, you know. And again, you have to kind of, as a female comic, you can't, if I was in the workplace in a medical environment and someone said the things that were said or did the things, I'd just be like, get the fuck out of here. And their license would be gone in the morning. I would fuck shit up. But as a female comic, you have to be a little bit tougher and just navigate your way around the shark infested waters with the most minimal amount of lateral damage that you can often. And also, again, I don't want to be focused on any of the negative stuff, but also at the same time as well, I do find it remarkable that certain, like, I've never dated an actor in my life or a comedian, nor would I would have no interest. It's just, there's only room for one star. It's the Danielle Show, 24/7, 7 days a week, 4 weeks in every month, and every 365 days a year, it's the Danielle fucking show. I am super selfish, I'm super focused about what I want. So literally, if I was to have a life partner, it would be someone who is super successful. Ideally they have a G650 extended range, because that could really add to my life, a private jet just for zipping home and whatnot. That would be something that I would certainly would be a game changer, and would certainly tip things into the direction of, you know, getting married or cohabiting or whatever. But certainly people who are not doing super fucking cool shit in their life, I love being around any creative souls. That's always fun, absolutely amazing. But do I want to be around the creative souls then in my spare time if that creative soul isn't doing big shit? No, I'll be careful, you know, when I see them out and about. I always want to be around. There's some really talented people in this town and I love being around them, and I also love hanging out with them, you know, Thanksgiving, doing cool stuff, helping the homeless. There's some other people as well that you see out and about and you just know to stay away from them, they're trouble. There's some other people as well who I find myself dumbfounded, like, that someone would think that because I'm up at 3 a.m. on social media posting stuff, and again, I work in 2 different time zones, that they think that, I don't know, it was just bizarre to me. There's moments each month where I'm going, what was that about? I don't know if it's just American men shoot their shot, I don't really work it out, or if I am not a total bitch. I'm very nice, I'm very encouraging of everybody, I'm a real cheerleader for everybody in the comedy community. So I sometimes wonder, is that perceived as, you know, your kindness is perceived as weakness or something, which is kind of funny because everyone knows back in Ireland I'm an absolute lighting. See you next Tuesday if you cross me. So I just, it's interesting. I find it weird as a doctor, no doctor would ever ask you out. It would just be whatever. But you do get hit on, and sometimes it's very respectful, sometimes it's not. And I'm just thinking, I'm looking at these people going, like, what is in their mind that would possess them to think that I would have any interest being around them in that capacity? Because you have to be very careful. You really are the 5 people or the 4 people that you hang around with. You've got to be so careful. And if you can't find 4 good people that are going to level you up, hang out on your own, give yourself hugs, be your own big cheerleader, be selfish. Take what you want, set your goals. If people aren't adding to your life, cut them, get them out of your life. That goes for family members, it goes for everyone. If your dreams are that big, you have to have dreams that are so big that they actually terrify you. You have to have dreams that big. And if they terrify you, by God, they're going to terrify other people. And those people who you scare with your dreams and your visions, they're going to try and blow your candle out. And I always say, people who are trying to blow out your candle, trying to blow out my candle doesn't make yours shine brighter. It doesn't. I'll just blow out your fucking candle and move on. So to that effect, that is the end of this episode, Diary of a Botox Bitch. I'm Dr. Botox, coming to you live from downtown Beverly Hills. Typically, we spill the tea on all things reality TV, but the last episode or two, we're talking a little bit about comedy because I'm on my way up to perform this evening. I was 6 days ago at the same venue, again, in the same room. I'm getting a lot of great stage time and opportunity. I'm super grateful. I'm grateful to all the comics who inspire me, who I watch. I love watching Whitney Cummins. I love watching Tiffany Haddish. I will say this, there's a lot of really good people in this town. The community is so special to me. I'm so grateful to be part of it. And it's such a gift to me every day and every night. So with that, I will say good night and goodbye. And if you are a comic or you know somebody who wants to do stand-up comedy, forward this episode and the last 2 episodes onto them. And come on, join me on a TikTok live, ask me any questions. So that's it for me, Dr. Botox, Dr. Danielle Marr Collins. I'm coming to you live from Beverly Hills. This is my podcast, Diary of a Botox Bitch. You can also follow me on TikTok, Dr. Danielle Marr Collins. That's it from me, Dr. Botox, coming to you live from downtown Beverly Hills with all things reality TV. My top 10 tips about comedy, how to get into comedy if you're in Dublin, if you're in Ireland, if you're in England, if you're in New York. The long story short is, wherever you are, get your booty to Los Angeles. Even if you come out here and visit, do open mics, get to know the producers, work the rooms. It's show business. It's called show business for a reason. It's the business side that is so important, to network, to move around, and then just work hard. It's show business. That's it from me. I'm getting ready to go up to perform in Hollywood. Could you believe it? This is the stuff of dreams. And again, if your dreams don't terrify you, they aren't big enough. And also, your dreams are going to terrify other people. And what they're going to do is they're going to try and blow out your candle. Don't let them. Blowing out your candle is not going to make theirs shine brighter. But if people are coming at you, good juju towards you, make sure you blow out their candle and just move away, move out of their light, move away from their bad light, move into your own light and walk in your glory. Be your own cheerleader, be selfish, be your best friend, be very comfortable being in your own company. And then you can expand into being around people, because remember, you are the sum of the four people you hang out with. Hang out with four alcoholics, you'll be the fifth. Hang out with four billionaires, you'll be the fifth. If you want to be a good comic, make sure you hang around with other good comics. People who are focused, who are hardworking.
I know it's exactly what you've been waiting for, so let's do this.
Welcome to the segment we call Beau Talks. Let's talk all things Botox, filler, and skincare.